Let us turn to the Word of God. Let us turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 15, and verse 2. The book of Genesis, chapter 15, and verse 2. We've been having Bible studies about or messages about Abraham, and I seem to be continuing with Abraham, but let's understand one thing. One could say, in one sense, that salvation, if someone were to explain the story of salvation, you would say somehow in the beginning was Abraham. Praise God. So there was a beginning of creation, but that creation was not really part of our salvation. But the story of salvation of mankind in the Bible begins with Abraham, praise God. And that is why we should spend much time meditating, focusing on understanding the call of Father Abraham, praise God. Because he is the father of many nations. He is really the one through whom God first announced the plan of salvation, praise God. So we thank God for Abraham, and let's read from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 2. The Bible says, "And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." The title of the sermon is Born in the House of Abraham, or are we the children of Abraham? There's a difference. Amen. Notice that there was a man called Eliezer born in the house of Abraham, but this Eliezer was not born of the loins, so to speak, of the flesh and blood of Abraham. So there are two types of people today who are with Abraham. There are those who are the children of the promise, born as the seed of Abraham, meaning the seed of Jesus. And there are those who are only born in the house of Abraham. They go to church, they call themselves Christian, but they're not born of Jesus Christ. They're not really the children of Abraham. So I'll be explaining the difference between these two people who both are in the house of Abraham, but they will not both continue. One will continue in the house of Abraham. And this was not the first time in the Bible. Later also in the house of Abraham, we notice that Ishmael had to leave the house of Abraham. So God wants us to pay attention to this, that not everyone continues as the children of Abraham. It depends how you were born. Amen. And so we are speaking about salvation. How are you related to Abraham is basically the message that I want to share today. Ask yourself today, how am I related to Abraham? What is your relation to Abraham? This is what we must ask ourselves. So let me begin by saying that when Abraham asked this question to God, we should call him Abram because he was not yet Abraham. In Genesis 15:2, let us look at it carefully. Let's break it down. Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me? Let me remind you who Abram was. He was an extremely rich man. He had material possessions. He had silver. He had gold. When he left Ur of the Chaldees, notice his name meant high father. He was a prominent man in his country. He didn't leave to serve God because he was poor. He didn't leave because he was looking for riches. He seemed to have been a well-known man who was a man of substance from the beginning. So when God tells him, I am your exceeding great reward, I am your shield, Abraham listens, but he tells God, what will you give me? In other words, I have everything, but I lack one thing, my God. And without that one thing, I have nothing. And you know what that one thing is? It's not really Isaac. We need to make this clear. We need to understand the story of Abraham. The Apostle Paul tells us that there was a seed of Abraham, not seeds. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 will help us to understand what was this great need, this great lack in the life of Abram. And without it, nothing was good enough for him. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Did you know that Abram was obsessed with only one thing his whole life? It's not Isaac. Isaac was part of that, but he is not the seed. Praise God. Because Paul makes it clear, seed is one, not many. And Paul explains to us that seed of Abraham is Christ. Can we say hallelujah? For Christ, he left Ur of the Chaldees. For the sake of Christ, he was a nomad. For the sake of Christ, he lived in the desert. For the sake of Christ, he was willing to put up with all these inconveniences. Praise God. This is what Christ meant to Abram. The question for us is, what does Christ mean for you? Praise God. What have you given up for Christ? What is that one thing that means to you more than any other thing? God gave him everything, and yet he said, Lord, what will you give me? In other words, Lord, I'm only looking for one thing. I'm only interested in one thing. And that is Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. May the Lord help us to have this one consuming, overwhelming desire that defined the life of Father Abram. One seed. One Christ. Praise God. God is one. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Abraham. Hear, O Isaac. Hear, O Jacob. The Lord thy God, the Lord is one. And you must desire him. You must love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And this is where the greatness of Abraham was in full display for us. Praise God. Many people say, I love God. But in the way they live, they do not show that they love God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul. There are people we have to ask them, do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul? Because we do not see any evidence or token of their love for God. But Abraham was not such a person. No one could ask him this question. Everyone knew in the land of Canaan that Abram was in their midst. He's a foreigner. He doesn't belong there. But he believed that God would give him the seed that he was looking for. Praise God. Saints of God, If we say we are the children of Abraham, as the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 27 says, let's turn with me, because we are all supposed to be the children of Abraham in this sense. Because Paul says in Galatians 3:29, if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Say with me, I am Abraham's seed. If you are Abraham's seed, do you live like Abraham? Have you left everything for the seed of Abraham? How much does Jesus mean to you? Have you put Jesus above everything else in life? Above your country? Above your family? Above your friends? Above your ambitions? Above your goals? Hallelujah. Does Jesus colonize your thoughts? Does Jesus dictate your daily activities? Is Jesus the only God, the only ruler of your life? This question Abraham answered so convincingly in the way that he lived. Praise God. He was indeed the first apostle, so to speak, because he left everything. He lived with God. He learned from God. He was the friend of God. That's why he's called the friend of God. Not everyone can be called the friend of God. Because to be the friend of God, God has to be comfortable with you. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. You do not call someone a friend whom you're not comfortable with. God was comfortable with Abraham. God is not comfortable with everyone. How can I become the friend of God? How can God be comfortable with me? This is the question. Praise God. It is okay if human society is uncomfortable with us, as long as God is comfortable with us. You know, when you are with your friend, you know that you can be yourself. And when you are yourself, you know that your friend will still love you, because your friend accepts your behavior, understands your behavior, and that's why you are friends. So I'm telling you that Abraham was a friend of God in a way which no one else was a friend of God. He had this unique relationship with God. Praise God. So that God was comfortable with this man. Hallelujah. God was really comfortable with this man. You know, the same cannot be said for Jacob. Yeah. Because Jacob, when he was at Bethel, he was petrified. He was frightened by the presence of God. So, however, his grandfather was so close to God. He lived in such a way that he really was the friend of God. And I think this is one of the great challenges that Abraham gives us. He throws down the gauntlet to us. If you turn with me to the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 23, James chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Let me tell you, this is a unique title. This is one of the best titles that God can bestow on anyone. And I don't come across anyone in the Bible of God, of whom God said, he's my friend in this way. Yes, Jesus called us. He said, you are my friends. He's our friend. But this is a unique title reserved for Abraham, the friend of God. Because God was comfortable with him. He was comfortable with him. Is it possible for us to live in such a way that God is comfortable with us? Jesus is comfortable with us. Jesus doesn't have to correct us, rebuke us, challenge us. Praise God. He can just come and talk to us about certain things, like you would talk with a friend. You know, when you're with a friend, you don't just quarrel with a friend or start to correct your friend. When God came to Abraham, he always talked to him about things he wanted to do. He said, shall I hide from Abraham? A good friend does not hide from another friend. Wow. Imagine having such a relationship with God. That God himself, God speaks to himself and says, ah, I should not hide from Abraham. He's my friend. Praise God. You know, I'm becoming envious of this relationship between Abraham and God. I wish we all have this relationship. We should be a little bit envious that God did not feel comfortable hiding from Abraham what he was going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, praise God. That's when you know the kind of love God had for Abraham, the kind of relationship God had with Abraham. Praise God. He knew Abraham will always do the right thing. Abraham would begin to intercede for the sinners. We do not read anywhere that Abraham began to intercede for his own family, for Lot. He didn't mention Lot. He cried for everyone. That is a good friend with a good heart, with a good character, good morality, praise God. Hallelujah. So we should analyze this relationship between Abraham and God. It's such a blessing. It challenges us. Don't you want to be the friend of God? Don't you want God to feel comfortable around you? And God would want to be in your presence. Isn't that amazing? I say that with fear and trembling. Imagine. When you have a friend, your friend will call you and say, do you have time? Shall we have a cup of coffee? I enjoy being with you. Imagine if God has that relationship with us. If Jesus seeks us out, praise God. Oh, praise God. Imagine, so to speak, the Lord picking up his phone, so to speak, dialing you and saying, do you have time for me to talk with you? I miss you and I want to be with you. Praise God. This is why we should not neglect prayer. That is where we talk to our friend Jesus. You may say, Brother Paul, are you sure? Is this the right way to speak about God? Yes, it is. Look at Jesus. God was manifested in the flesh. He came to be with us because he does not just see us as sinners only. He sees us as his potential friends. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. But isn't God holy? He wouldn't want to. He must be ashamed of me. No, no. He sees beyond your sin. He sees beyond our evil. He sees that his blood has power to wash away our sins. He sees that we can be his friend. Praise God. You know, human beings in this world, they look at you and they judge you immediately and say, this person is bad. I don't want to be your friend. But Jesus looks at a prostitute. Jesus looks at Zacchaeus, a thief. Jesus looked at the thief on the cross, and he looks beyond what you are now to what his blood can do with you, what his spirit can do with you. And then he says, ah, you are my friend, even though you cannot understand it now. Once I wash you with my blood, once I fill you with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you'll be my best friend. So when Peter said, Lord, depart from me, I'm a man of sin, I live with unclean people. This is what Isaiah said. This is what Peter said. The Lord was not having any of this. No, no, no. If Jesus came to make only good people his friends, he would have no friends. Because there is none that doeth good. No, not one. All are sinners. and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. So, Jesus came to die for us while we were yet sinners. Say, while we were yet sinners. Never imagine for a second that there was something special about your character or your behavior. You were a good person. That's why Jesus chose you. Never. Perish the thought. Rebuke the thought. Say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Our righteousness was as filthy rags. Let's not forget the scripture, brothers and sisters. Amen. Our righteousness, Isaiah said in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing. Say, we are all our righteousness. Say, all our righteousness. By the way, righteousnesses. That's interesting, isn't it? It's the first time I'm seeing it in the plural. Normally, righteousness should be what we call a collective noun, yeah, uncountable noun. But I notice here it says righteousnesses. Wow. All the so-called righteousnesses of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, put it all together. And the Methodists and the Baptists and the, can I continue? All those righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God have mercy. Thank God it has nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with your personality. It is nothing to do with whether you are a person who is cheerful or you have a rather pessimistic personality or a rather gloomy disposition. This is how people describe us. Has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with the fact that Jesus has confidence in the power of his salvation. Amen. Jesus has full confidence in the power of his salvation. Praise God. To cleanse us, to purify us, to make us the friends of God as the children of Abraham. So coming back to our great friend and great, great forefather, Abraham, a remarkable man in every way, worthy of all emulation and worthy of being a role model. So God told him in the beginning of Genesis 15:1, I am your shield. I preached once about the shield. It's such a powerful term. Do you know that if you were on a battlefield in the old days, there are arrows flying, there are slingshots flying, all sorts of, you know, objects flying in the air. There's no way you can stop it unless you have a big shield. The Apostle Paul called it the shield of faith. Because we also, brothers and sisters, we are in a battlefield today. Life is a battlefield. The devil is throwing the fiery darts, sling stones, all sorts of things. And don't try to understand everything. Because, you know, the weapons of warfare are always advancing, isn't it? Just think about modern warfare. So we don't try to study and understand all these weapons of the enemy. We need to make sure we have the shield of faith. Praise God. Say with me, the shield of faith. There is something called the shield of faith that the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, somebody say all, the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, hallelujah. So it is this shield that God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. Woo. I mean, I'm thy shield. That means, Abram, It doesn't matter what kind of weapons the enemy attacks you with, I will be your shield. Brothers and sisters, thank God today, Jesus is our shield. Oh, hallelujah. I don't need to know what kinds of weapons the enemy is throwing against me. All I need to know is that God is my shield. Jesus is my shield. Is your shield in order? Are you sure there is a shield, a canopy, a holy canopy of God over you? That's all we need to think about. Because no weapon formed against you. Say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon. The enemy knows that he can keep inventing all sorts of advanced spiritual weapons. None will prosper against us. And we remember, we have seen how God was a shield to Abraham. How many times the devil tried to thwart the purposes of God, frustrate the plan of God. He tried to take away Abraham's wife. What happened? Well, God was his shield. God talked to the king, said, return his wife. You know, I'm telling you, we need to praise Jesus just for all the protection that he has given us, which we are not even aware of. Do you know what God may have told somebody about you just yesterday or today? Don't trouble Brother Simon. Leave Sister Hymanoth alone. Praise God. Please do not frustrate Sister Comfort. Praise God. Hallelujah. Make sure that you are nice to Brother Kumar. Hallelujah. Amen. Make sure you give this blessing to Sister Salam. Hallelujah. And so on and so forth. Praise God. Jesus is your shield. He is working on your behalf even right now. He's talking to somebody. He's threatening somebody. He's telling somebody, I'll bless you if you do this for this sister, this brother. Can we lift up our hands and just thank him for a moment? Thank him for all the unseen blessings. Say, I thank you, Jesus, for the unseen blessings. The unknown interventions. Oh, praise God. Thank you for all the times, like a good father, like a good mother, you lobbied on my behalf. You talked to somebody on my behalf. I didn't even know. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. You know, it sounds strange to share this. I'm reminded last night I had a very strange dream. I was dreaming, God forbid, that the Russians attack Norway of all things. And they were very effective and they took over and they arrested me even. They took me. I thought I was going to die in my dream. And then suddenly they started to question me, talk to me. And before long, they were amazed that I knew so much about Russia. We were talking about Dostoevsky and I was talking to them about Peter the Great. And they became impressed and they said, wow, this is a very interesting man. And in the dream, I began to realize I'm having the favor of God. The Russians have become my friends. I don't know how to explain this. Maybe God is telling me, don't be afraid of anything. I am your shield. Even if an invasion would occur, you know, sometimes dreams are because we are watching too much news or eating too much pizza. I don't know. Because we're reading in the news about Denmark, Norway being, you know, these drones are coming and causing chaos in the airports. And so maybe I took some of that in my dream. But it ended well. God was with me. Praise God. He is my shield, even in my dream. So the Russians did not trouble me. We became good friends. We were having coffee together. They forgot that I was a prisoner. And they were just saying, this man is very amazing. He seems to know so much about our culture. And we were talking more and more about Russia. Well, if I could talk with them, of course, I would tell them to stop the war against Ukraine. That would be a nice beginning. And love one another as Christ loved you. Amen. War is not good for anyone. War is evil. War brings suffering. We should pray for peace, the Bible says. Amen. But coming back from Russia, back to Abraham, hallelujah, we need to understand God is our shield. Say, God is my shield. Amen. Imagine God being a shield which covers you wherever you go. Amen. I wanted to compare it to walking around with an umbrella, but that would not be a good example. Imagine having a huge, huge shield over your head where nothing can ever hit you. This is our God. He told Abraham, I'm your shield. I am your great and exceeding reward. Hallelujah. But you see, despite all of that, brothers and sisters, so now we know God is his shield. That means nobody can touch him. You are just not destructible because God is indestructible. Imagine if you have God as your bodyguard. God just told him, nobody can touch you. I'm your shield. No king will touch you. No nuclear bomb will touch you. Nobody. I'm telling you, Abraham was the most protected man in the universe. Oh, hallelujah. Satan knew. You can't touch that man. That's a lot of protection, brothers and sisters. And Abraham did not pay one single for this protection. Oh, because when God is your protection, it's free. Hallelujah. You know, celebrities, they pay so much for their security. And still, they get shot, they get killed. God forbid. It's very sad what happened to Charlie Kirk. We cry with his wife, with deplorable what was done. But that just goes to show us that God can be our perfect protection, brothers and sisters. Only Jesus can be our shield. And Abraham, nobody could touch him. Isn't that wonderful?
Brother Paul, you're muted, I think.
Oh, how did that happen?
Now we can hear you now.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord. The Lord is still our shield, exceeding great reward. Amen. Now, exceeding great reward means no one else really ever received the blessing that Abraham received. Please understand the meaning of exceeding great reward. Because the whole story of salvation begins with him. If he would be faithful, obedient to the end, then Jesus himself, God manifested in the flesh, would be called the seed of Abraham. How about that? Just think about what a great reward that is. Many people misunderstand the term seed of Abraham. We need to understand it correctly. Because it is mentioned so many times in the Bible that Jesus is the seed of Abraham. We just read one, yeah? Galatians chapter 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Praise God. So what this clearly shows us is that there is a special title given to Abraham. A special title given that God himself took upon himself when he came in flesh. That he is the seed of Abraham. In other words, it's like he's hopping over everybody and going back to Abraham and saying, yes, I'm the seed of Abraham. What does that mean? It is not speaking about physical, fleshly kind of DNA, chromosomes, etc. No. It's not speaking about that. How do we know that? Because it is a promise. It is the word seed. Incorruptible. Remember what the Bible says? In the beginning was the word. Somebody said, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. Now, The Bible does not say that the word went into human beings and mixed with their DNA and chromosomes, etc. No, no, no. This word was the seed. Somebody say this word was the seed. Say it was complete. It doesn't need anything from any human being. All the seed is looking for is somebody who will believe this. Say, believe that the word will be made flesh. It's looking for somebody. So in other words, if it would not be Abraham, it could be somebody else. If it's not Mary, it will be somebody else. It does not depend on human beings. It's complete. The word of God has everything in it. Hallelujah. When Mary said, how shall this be? The angel said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. The power of the highest, hallelujah, will come upon thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called Son of God, who is the father of this body. Say, God. So what is the role of Abraham? Well, he will be the man because of his faith, his belief, that through him all nations will be blessed. Through him, Jesus will come, so to speak. His line. In other words, he's saying, Lord, I believe, please place this word seed into me, into my line. Let it come through Mary afterwards. It has nothing to do with my flesh, Mary's flesh. It's straight from you, but we are the people. You promised me, you told me, I am thy exceeding great reward. This is the exceeding great reward. It is all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It is all about the seed. Who will believe? Who will receive the seed? Who will be the vessel? Who has enough faith for this? Praise God. Who will be the receptacle? Praise God. Who has enough faith for this? Amen. That is the question. And believe you, the word of God, Abraham was a unique man. The gospel was preached to him beforehand. Imagine that. The gospel was preached to him. What is the gospel? The gospel is what I'm speaking about right now. The belief that the word would be made flesh. Hallelujah. And dwell among us. Hallelujah. It was preached to Abraham and Abraham believed it. You'll say, Abraham really had the gospel preached to him? Absolutely. He understood all of these things. He had a choice, hallelujah, to make. Would he accept it? Would he not? So Abraham believed God. He understood what was required. He understood what God was going to do. It was all about Jesus. Praise God. So basically, we have to understand the call is always about Jesus. Amen. The call is always about Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, assess your relationship with Abraham in light of what I just said. Is everything in your life about Jesus? Hallelujah. Is everything A to Z about Jesus? Hallelujah. This is really the big question of our lives today. Hallelujah. Is everything about Jesus? Because believe you me, people preach about Abraham as if it was about Isaac. It's not about Isaac. Isaac is just a stepping stone. He is the first sign to what was coming, the real seed of Abraham. Praise God. So I want to continue, but I want to make sure we understand this, that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Galatians 3 verse 8. Please note down the scripture. It's a very powerful scripture. The first time I read this, it shocked me. I had to dig it, dig deeply many, many years ago, because I had to try to make sense of this. Galatians 3:8, the Apostle Paul says, and the scripture foreseeing that God, see, the scripture foreseeing, God sees the future, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before, listen carefully, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Do you understand what the scripture says? The gospel is not preached only when the Lord came. It was preached before. Somebody say amen. Abraham heard the gospel. He understood what is going on. He knew that this is the greatest blessing ever in the universe, ever, that a person can receive. That's why he lived so carefully. That's why he sacrificed so greatly. Because he understood. He understood the preaching. You know why Christians do not live carefully for Jesus? They're not serious, because they didn't understand the preaching of the gospel. But if you understand like Father Abraham, you will take care of your faith like Father Abraham did. Praise God. Look at how careful he was with the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't want to take anything from them. Look at how careful he was when it came to who his son Isaac will marry. But today we corrupt ourselves by taking things from Sodom and Gomorrah. Today we don't care about who we marry. Are we the children of Abraham? Or have we become the children of Ishmael? And I'm not speaking negatively about Arabs as Arabs, but I'm just speaking spiritually. Because Ishmael married unbelievers. Ishmael did not care about how he lived. Neither did Esau. And that's why God said, I hate Esau. God loves or hates us according to how we treat the seed of Abraham, the promise of Abraham. So let me tell you today very clearly, how you treat the seed of Abraham, the promise of the seed of Abraham, will determine whether Jesus loves us or not. Amen. Do you want to meet a person whom heaven loves, Jesus loves? Will be a shield for that person? Will be an exceeding great reward? Just look at how the person treats the promise of the seed of Abraham. What is that promise of the seed of Abraham? The coming of God and being manifested in flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Brothers and sisters, there is a treasure that nothing in the universe can compare to. There is a treasure that it's worth giving everything up for. And let me tell you, your eternity and my eternity will be evaluated according to how we treat this treasure. And what is that treasure? The promise of the seed of Abraham. How we handle it. How we prepare for it. Look at how Abraham lived in anticipation. Look at how he suffered. Look at how he lived. Praise God. You know why Abraham was able to take his son to Mount Moriah to put the knife through him? Because he was so certain that the seed of Abraham cannot be destroyed. It will happen no matter what. Hallelujah. That was his faith. He knew the seed of Abraham cannot be stopped. Praise God. I will obey God. I will do what he says because I trust him. I know he will provide a lamb for himself. He will provide a lamb. He will give us the Son of God. He will give us the seed of Abraham. He will give us a sacrifice. There will be flesh and blood crucified at Golgotha. Hallelujah. Do we believe this? I believe it with everything in me. Nothing could stop the coming of Jesus. Nothing, no one. Praise God. No knife. No nothing. Praise God. Abraham is our example to live by faith, because all these things came through in his life, lifetime with Isaac. And in the same way, his life is a metaphor. It's pointing to us, whatever it may cost, however few we may be, however hot the sun is in the desert, however many enemies surround us, like the Canaanites, however many problems and temptations there may be, believe the seed of Abraham will come. Say, I believe. I believe. Hallelujah. I'm still walking. I'm still going strong. Hallelujah. I will see all these things happen in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are the children of Abraham. Say, I'm the child of Abraham. So, after God told him all of these things, and he understood, he heard what God said, Abraham told God something quite strange. He said, a man who has everything, protection of God, all the wealth that he has, camels, gold, silver. You know what he said in verse 2? We read it earlier. What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Wow, what a statement. Lord, what will you give me? All that you've given me is nothing, Lord. I appreciate the protection. I appreciate the gold, silver. But that is not why I left my country. That is not what I'm looking for. I need the seed of Abraham. I am looking for Jesus. I am bearing all of these things for Jesus. Praise God. Brother and sister, if I ask you today, what are you suffering for? What is your pain for? What is your discomfort for? You know, just on Thursday, I was invited to go back to my old high school. I was a high school teacher for some years in the past. And they wanted me to speak about, to motivate the students, because being a professor now, by God's grace, you know, God is my exceeding great reward. He blessed me. They wanted me to come back to the school and to talk and motivate the students and to tell them how to be successful. You know, in one way, I felt sad because I cannot talk about Jesus and I'm a preacher. But you know what? How God is wonderful. When I stood there, a Somali girl at the back got surprised. She told me, are you Somali? Because I spoke a little bit Somali with her. She was shocked. Are you Somali? I said, yes. How come your name is Paul Thomas? In front of the whole classroom, and the teachers were sitting and listening. And I said, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because there is a rule in Norway that if somebody asks you something like this, you are free to tell them. Very carefully. You know, you cannot just evangelize, but if somebody asks you, you can tell them. So I explained to her that 40 years ago in India, I saw Jesus, and Jesus changed my life, and I'm a Christian. And she was not finished. What was your name before? I said, Saeed Omar Ali. Said, oh, that was a wonderful name. You know how, let me tell you, Muslims love their religion, seriously. Unlike us, some of us Christians. They were like, oh, so sad for me. But I was testifying. Jesus is always opening a door, putting me somewhere so that wherever I go, you know, even before I went there, I told the Lord, please, Lord, speak through me. All this honor means nothing if I, your name goes with me wherever I go, Jesus. I always pray this, Lord, remember, I carry your name. Even when I'm not prepared, they ask me for a testimony. And you told me not to premeditate what I should answer. This is what the gospel says. And I began to talk about Jesus until some of the teachers were uncomfortable. Then I changed the topic. But you see, I'm trying to tell you that ultimately, no matter what we do, and that gave me such a sense of fulfillment, so happy. Just that little time that I could talk about Jesus. Because all my motivation that I have to share, all my success came from Jesus. I've never been in doubt. He is my exceeding great reward. Praise God. He is my shield, my buckler. He is my rock. In him will I trust. Praise God. So you see, Abraham had everything. I had everything. But I was missing something. I want to tell them about Jesus. And for Abraham, if you have everything and you don't have Jesus, you are childless. You are childless. Thank God we are not childless today. We have Jesus. We are filled. We are carrying something. Praise God. We are carrying Jesus. Hallelujah. He gave birth to us. Amen. And this was the cry of Abraham's heart. And this touches me so much when I read the scripture, because it tells me that Abraham really, can I remind you that, you see, you have to understand one thing. Abraham was old. When he left Ur of the Chaldees, he was 75. When he got Isaac, he was what, 99? So why is he still wanting a child? If everything was only about Isaac, I'm sure that, no disrespect, but somebody who is almost 99 should not be looking forward to have a child. Come on, let's be frank. It may surprise you that I'm speaking this way, but I need to shock us sometimes, because then you'll understand what Abraham's desire was. It's about Jesus. That's his seed. That's his child. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when you're 100, you could die anytime. Why are you looking for? Why did you sacrifice so much for a baby called Isaac? No. If he was only looking and happy with a child, he should have been happy with Ishmael. Abraham was a spiritual man. His eyes, his heart, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, may God give us the spirit of Abraham. May God give us the heart of Abraham. No wonder, brothers and sisters, Abraham is the first citizen of heaven. Have you wondered why Jesus said the Gentiles will come from the east and the west and the north and the south? And he said they will sit in heaven in the table. Yeah, with who? He didn't say Noah. He didn't say somebody else. Noah will be there. But why say Abraham? Because of the message that I'm sharing with you today. Because of this message, God will honor those who do everything for Jesus, whose heart is only for Jesus, who make great sacrifices for Jesus. You will be honored in heaven. You will be honored in heaven. Don't we want to be honored in heaven? Praise God. Praise God. What is greater? What is greater? Hallelujah. May God give us the heart of Abraham to look beyond the things of this world. Abraham is unique. He didn't want recognition from anybody. He's not looking for a comfortable life. He got gold and silver, but what's that to him? In the desert, what do you do with it? If you have so much in gold and silver, you would want to be in a beautiful house, not in a tent. This man is unique. May God give us the heart of Father Abraham. He really lost interest in this world. He had no interest in this world. The world could not give anything to Abraham. He refused to take anything from this world, nothing from the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, Nothing from his family, his people. Everything, day and night, is focused towards Jesus, towards the seed of Abraham. This is the greatest blessing a person can have. To be obsessed with Jesus. To see nothing else but Jesus. Even though you can experience everything in this world, you still are blind to this world. You still want Jesus. Your soul craves Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This is a great blessing. We must pray more and more to have the spirit of Father Abraham. Hallelujah. But there's another thing that Abraham said in Genesis 15:2 that I want to analyze before I conclude. So note Abraham's great concern, his great pain. I go childless. It's not about Isaac. Please believe me. And forget me. Who am I? Believe Paul, the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. He's the one who's saying the seed is, hallelujah, Jesus. Abraham is possessed with Jesus. He's possessed with the coming of our Lord. If you know who Jesus is, he knew who Jesus is. He met Melchizedek. Melchizedek gave him wine and bread. What does that symbolize? You see, the wine represents the blood of Jesus. The bread represents the flesh of Jesus. Abraham is the first to receive the Lord's Supper. That's why Paul said the gospel is preached beforehand. Do you see all these mysteries coming together? When I went to Jerusalem, I was driving with Bishops Terefe, Bishops Ashanafi, Mullah, some of these ministers, Brother Jonas. I remember seeing as we were entering the sign Jerusalem. And the bishop, Bishop Terefe asked me, he said, Brother Paul, can you, we are entering Jerusalem. It was the first time for them. And it was their dream to come there. Everybody's dream is to go to Jerusalem. He said, can you please say something about Jerusalem to you know, help us to approach this spiritually and appropriately. I mean, anybody going to Jerusalem, you become overwhelmed with 3,000 years of spiritual history. And, you know, I prayed under my breath, Lord, who am I to? These are powerful men of God who have served God their whole lives. Who am I to preach to them, to tell them anything? They know better than me. So I just said, Lord, just help me to honor you. And, you know, I found I could not say anything except this is the city of Melchizedek, the priest of Salem. Hallelujah. This is the city of Melchizedek we are entering. And who is Melchizedek? Without father, without mother, without beginning of days, end of days. This is God himself. He was a priest. Priest of what? Priest of his own faith, of his own temple, of his church. Hallelujah. Although there were Canaanites in that land, Jesus was still our priest in that land. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he was waiting for Abraham to come to him and to receive his flesh and his blood. And I told them, we are in Jerusalem. What did Father Abraham come here to do? He came to eat of the flesh and the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we have come to do the same spiritually. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This is what we are living off. So you always seem to be full of energy, but I don't see you eating bread and butter. I have meat that you do not know of. We eat the flesh and blood of Jesus. This is our food which gives us calories, spiritual calories. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel that energy. Praise God. So this is Abraham. This is the great friend of God. I said, no one else is called the friend of God, only Abraham, special type. It means God was comfortable with him. God is not comfortable with everyone, but God was comfortable with Abraham. May God be comfortable with you and me, praise God. May we be the friends of God, hallelujah. You see, Abraham went to Jerusalem. He received the flesh and blood of the Lord, spiritually speaking. He understood the gospel, it was preached to him. He was possessed with the seed of Abraham, which is the Messiah, which is what Isaiah 9, chapter 9 and verse 6 tells us. Hallelujah. What does the great prophet Isaiah, or rather we should say the great prophecy which made Isaiah great? Hallelujah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, El Gibor in Hebrew, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A child would be born who would be called the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. Yes, he's the one who said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And the same thing Melchizedek said. You see, now if you put it together, it means Jesus is Melchizedek. Melchizedek is Jesus. He's giving his flesh and blood. One God, one spirit, one flesh, one blood, one baptism, one faith, one God. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is our strength. This is our foundation. This is the seed of Abraham. This is the most powerful force in the universe. Amen. Praise God. Whatever will take you to heaven is the most powerful force in this universe. And that is this doctrine, this belief that Jesus is the one true God. There is no force in this world greater than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God we have this revelation. This is not our revelation. It's Jesus's revelation. It's the truth. If we deny it, we are denying the truth. We don't love falsehood. I did not leave Islam to go into some false doctrine. If you leave Islam, you can die for your faith. I was told we will kill you. I'm not saying all Muslims wanted to kill me, but some in the family. So when I knew that I'm going to die or I can die, I want to make sure that at least I have the right revelation of Jesus. Because I met so many Christians, all said we are Christians, Methodist, Baptist, this is it. I said, my goodness, I'm in trouble. I'm going to be killed, and all of the Christians are fighting with each other. Jesus, who are you? Praise God. Thank God I met one Jesus, one God. When I met him, I knew he is God. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know there's something called the Bible. Because the Christians around me never had a Bible. It's very sad to say this. They had Catholic and Protestant. They used to wear different color clothes. So I thought these two people are two different religions. I had no understanding what was going on. I saw the Catholics wear white clothes, Protestant wear gray and white. That was the uniform in the school. And they had different services. And I realized they don't like each other. But when I saw Jesus, I saw one God. One person talking to me. He told me, you are looking for God. And he said that he is God. He said, I am God, he told me. And I knew it's true. Praise God. It's this God that Melchizedek, that Abraham met. How do we know this was God? Because Abraham gave him tithes of everything. When we give tithes, we are not giving to the pastor, we're giving to God. And God is giving it to the pastor. Are you with me? God is giving it to the Levite. We are not saying, hey, Levite, I'm giving you my tithe. No, no, no. You're giving to God 10%. Jacob was giving to God. Abraham was giving to God. And God gave to the Levites who served him. Praise God. So we give to God. Abraham gave tithes to the Almighty God. Melchizedek. And the King of Righteousness, King of Salem, we are also giving tithes to Jesus. We give our offering to Jesus, not to human beings. Amen. So that's why somebody should not say, but this is a wicked pastor. He should not get tithes. That's not your business or my business. We are giving to Jesus. Let Jesus take care of his tithes. Praise God. So the people gave money to Jesus, but Judas is robbing it. That is Judas's problem. And in the end, Judas was judged. So don't worry about that. I don't know why I changed subject. We are over time. I just want to, God chose in this message that the focus would be something else. I can see that now, rather than what I was thinking. Let the Lord direct as he sees fit. It is his word, his message. We are just his vessels. We are just his servants. But let me say that Abraham said in Genesis 15:2, he said, the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And when let's go back to Genesis 15:2, there's a message here. In verse 3, Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. There is a difference between one who is born in the house of Abraham and one who is born of the seed of Abraham. Praise God. What I mean by this is, in the same house, you will find two types of people. Under the umbrella of what we call Christianity, there are two types of people. Some are born in the house of Abraham, like Eliezer of Damascus. He was a good man, but he does not represent salvation. He's not of the seed of Abraham. For that, you must be born of Abraham. You must be born of Jesus. Are you with me? How can we be born of Jesus? How can we be born of the seed of Abraham and not just be born in the house of Abraham? Have you met these people who say, who put up their hands, they repeat a prayer of repentance? They say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. No, no, no. You are born in the house of Abraham, but you are not born of the seed of Abraham. It's two different things. Hallelujah. We need to be born of the seed of Abraham. What does that mean? Well, the Apostle Paul explains this best in Galatians chapter 3. Let's read Galatians chapter 3 and let us begin at verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Notice the order. First, a person must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when you first, let me give you the correct order. First, you recognize you're a sinner. I'm speaking to those who don't know anything about Jesus. Maybe this may be the first time you may hear this message on the podcast or something. Maybe 20 years, 50 years, even when I'm dead and gone, you may hear this message. Let me tell you that first you have to know and believe there is a God. Amen. Let there be no doubt. He who comes to God must believe he is. And he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. There is a God. Atheism is a sin. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We believe in God. This is the foundation of our existence. Praise God. He made me. I cannot deny the one who made me. In him I live and move and have my being. How can I deny the one who is my giving me oxygen to breathe? Because of him I get up from this chair. Because of him I go to sleep. Because of him I eat. I will bless him. I will not deny him. He is my God. I live in an ocean of atheism. But God exists in Jesus' name. This is the shame of Europe and the West, that there are people who don't believe God exists. But we are not here to condemn. We are here as preachers to challenge you. There is a God. Amen. You will have much to do with him for eternity. Get to know him. Make peace with him. Serve him. Hallelujah. So there is a God. Now, this God tells us that we are sinners. What does it mean? It means that there is the seed of sin working in us, which we have inherited. As long as you're a human being and you are born of a human being, there is something in you which is both attracted to God and rebels against God. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, the good that I want to do, I cannot do. The bad, the evil I don't want to do, I do it. What is this living in me? Yes, something is dwelling in you. It is called sin. This is our enemy. This is the enemy of Jesus. God was manifested in the flesh for this enemy. Amen. Not because you are his enemy. He loves you. But he knows that you cannot fight the sin. It's killing people right now as I'm speaking. Somebody's dying of alcohol. Somebody's dying of drugs. Somebody is dying of hatred and goes with a gun to kill somebody and they shoot him. Somebody is dying right now because of sin. This is our enemy. God is not your enemy. He's the enemy of the sin that is dwelling in you. The doctor is not coming to hurt you, but he wants to remove something in you which is causing you pain, isn't it? The bacteria, the disease, something in your flesh. Do you look at the doctor as your enemy? No. But you know he may cause you pain, isn't it, the surgeon? Why? Because he has to remove something from you. He has to remove the tumor, the cancer tumor. He has to remove the kidney stones. So why do people look upon God as if he's their enemy and he hates them? He doesn't. He is like the surgeon. He sees sin will kill you. And you must work together with him to remove this cancer called sin, which will kill us. In Jesus' name. Let Jesus heal you. Let him do his operation upon you. So, Jesus came. God was manifested in the flesh. He himself called himself the physician. I'm not just trying to be creative to use such language, analogies, metaphors. Jesus used this term, physician. He came. A physician will do operation. It may pain. It would cause pain. Repent. Repentance is that pain that we feel because of sin. Amen. When a patient is crying because of pain, isn't it? He's not just crying for no reason, the pain. So when we are in tears, when we hear the gospel, when we hear the words of Peter, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what happens? We feel pain. We feel the sin and the pain and we cry. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Heal me. Operate on me, Jesus. Remove this enemy which is in me for which you came to die on the cross of Calvary. And when we repent, Jesus begins to remove the sin. He washes it away with his blood. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. He does a spiritual operation. Every day, he removes sin. Every day, praise God. He takes it out, praise God. In Jesus' name. Washes us white as snow. And then you must be baptized in Jesus' name. Why? Because otherwise you cannot be the seed of Abraham. So what does it mean, seed of Abraham, to be born of the seed of Abraham? The seed of Abraham is Jesus. How does Jesus give birth to us? Well, when you go down in the water, that is where the operation happens. Amen? Operation. Yes, I'm using medical terms. I'm not a doctor, but I know about spiritual surgery. I know about spiritual anesthesia. The blood of Jesus gives you spiritual anesthesia. Hallelujah. You'll stop feeling the pain. Amen. But you see, in the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 11, the great apostle Paul, the rabbi, he says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. When you go down in the waters of baptism, Jesus removes the body of Adam. Praise God. Jesus destroys the body of Adam. This body, which is corrupt, which cannot enter heaven, which is from Adam, is gone. So you say, so what body do I have now? You receive the seed of Abraham. You put on Christ, the word made flesh, that body, which is of the word of God, that is what you put on. Imagine putting on the whole Bible as a body. Woo, hallelujah. A body which cannot sin. A body which cannot become sick. A body which cannot die. A body which is pure. A body which cannot sin. Don't you want this body? Then be baptized in Jesus' name. Find somebody who will baptize you in the name of Jesus. Because the promises of God are yea and amen. Put on that body of Christ. Save yourself. We live in a generation that loves themselves. But I don't understand how they don't love themselves enough to put on the body of Christ for eternity. Hallelujah. Put on Christ. And that body, the Holy Spirit wants to live in that body. Jesus lives in that body. So when you come up out of the water, he fills you with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues in a new language. Millions of people have had this experience. We've had this experience. And then you become the son of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You become the daughter of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You put on Christ. Hallelujah. This is how God saves you, through the promise of Abraham. Hallelujah. Through the seed of Abraham. In this way, Abraham becomes the father of many nations, and all nations are blessed. So today we're all blessed by Abraham because of this belief. Hallelujah. With these words, let us pray in closing. Jesus bless you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message. This is the core of Christianity. This is the crux of salvation. Hallelujah. And each time we talk about salvation, it seems to shine more and more beautifully, more and more brightly, Jesus. Thank you for saving us with such a beautiful salvation. Thank you for delivering us with such a beautiful deliverance. Thank you for this story, the greatest of all stories. Thank you for this is your story, your salvation. And we thank you that you've helped us to understand this. I pray that you will open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of all who hear this message today. And like the Ethiopian eunuch, they will say, see, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized? Praise God. For salvation is now. Salvation is today in Jesus' name. Bless your people, Lord Jesus. Thank you for their hearts that love you, that seek spiritual things. Bless them, Jesus. Let them live for you like Abraham did. Help us to be consumed in everything we do by the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Live in us, O seed of Abraham. We bless you, Jesus. We magnify your holy name. We give you the praise that is due your holy name. Hallelujah. King of kings, Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you. Hallelujah. All this we pray in the name of the one and only God, Jesus. And the church says, Amen. Amen.